Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome back to an adventure in history. We're going to talk regatta.
Regatta.
Yeah, you gotta.
You got it. See, I go back and forth on loving that phrase and hating that phrase.
Oh, it's fun. What does our guest say? Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I think it's fun and hip and catchy.
Ooh.
All right.
Fun and hip.
I like
That's
that.
How you know that it probably See, I li- is it.
I like that a
yeah,
lot.
But she's got the right energy. So we have Janet Grothy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
We dragged her in to talk all things regatta and life on the coast and fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. But I have a word.
You have a word.
I do.
Speaking of fun stuff.
1877.
1877 slang. All right.
Bazoo.
Bazoo.
Yep.
And that is a noun.
It is a noun. Yes.
So say it again.
Bazoo.
Bazoo. I believe a bazoo is a big activity, like a big Ooh. Get-together, a big shindig.
Nope, not at all. Nope. Bazoo.
So now you get to guess.
See, there's the flashcard. I'm showing
oh,
the flashcard.
Oh, gosh. I did like
1877.
What were we talking about in 1877 with a bazoo?
Yes.
I'm going to say it's part of a carriage.
Oh, that's a good guess, too.
Carriage wheels.
No, you guys are both completely wrong, though.
I was going to guess musical instrument, but I thought that'd be too obvious.
It's mouth.
A mouth.
Shoot off one's mouth. So it's sort of used in terms of somebody kind of going off the rails and they're talking. So they're bazoo.
Yeah, that one's not coming back either.
Can you use that in a sentence?
Mac likes to talk out of his bazoo.
Maybe. See, there's much better words to put in there than bazoo.
Bazoo. Okay. All right. We're still giving the slang a chance.
I would accept it.
Okay.
All right. So the history highlights, the things that happen tomorrow, June 9th, as always, icebreakers, things to talk about at the dinner table. June 9th, 1534.
Ooh.
French explorer Jacques Cartier is the first European to sail into the mouth of the St. Lawrence River. I like the St. Lawrence.
Okay.
My dad grew up along the St. Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
We used to go boating on the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Really? Okay.
It connects the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean.
Got it. Okay.
It's our border with Canada.
It's a good reason.
I could keep going.
Yes, okay.
All right. 1650, the Harvard Corporation, the most powerful of the two administrative boards of Harvard University, is established. It's the first legal corporation in the Americas.
Really?
Isn't that kind of cool?
I didn't know that.
I mean, obviously, I picked it since Harvard is in the news.
Correct. Yeah.
But yeah, first legal corporation.
Interesting. All men at that point.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep.
All white men, I'm sure.
Yep. The Ivy Leagues, all of them were all men initially.
1650.
Okay.
All right. 1856. 500 Mormons leave Iowa City, Iowa and head west for Salt Lake City, Utah, carrying all their possessions in two-wheeled handcarts.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's kind of an amazing exodus there with handcarts.
Yes, journey. And how that that exodus really stuck too, right? So from there west, I mean, still has remained a really heavy Mormon population.
Yeah. 1902, the first Automat restaurant opens at 818 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia.
Automat.
Do you know what the Automat is?
No.
Is it like a drive-up?
I thought you were both going to be too young for this. I have actually been to one in New York City.
Automat.
It's a giant thing with like picture mailboxes, PO boxes in the post office.
Yeah. Okay.
And each one has food in it.
Oh.
And you can actually see like, oh, that's a piece of pie. And you pay whatever and open the little door and you pull the pie out.
Okay.
And you could get a whole meal that way.
Yeah. How interesting.
They're both looking at me like I'm nuts.
I know. The evolution of sort of junk food machines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 1902. I kind of think they were mostly gone by like the 1960s.
Okay.
But my parents took me to one in New York City. All right. 1934, Donald Duck waddles into pop culture, debuting in Disney's The Wise Little Hen. In it, the quacker and his pal Peter Pig try to avoid work by faking stomach aches until Mrs. Hen teaches them the value of labor.
I saw that one. Who'd have ever thought, too? Donald Duck. I mean, he's not the most endearing character.
I hate Donald Duck.
And his voice and...
That's why I hate him.
Right.
Yeah.
The way he talks, the grammar's wrong. I mean, yeah. All the things.
All right. 1954. Have you no sense of decency? Senator Joseph McCarthy is asked about during in a hearing. In a dramatic confrontation, Joseph Welch, special counsel for the U.S. Army, lashes out at Senator Joseph McCarthy during hearings on whether communism has infiltrated the U.S. armed forces. Welch's verbal assault, including that enduring question of have you no sense of decency, marked the end of McCarthy's power during the anti-communist hysteria of the Red Scare in America.
You know, I have a lot to say about that.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's not enough time.
but he was the turning point where he actually pushed back instead of people being afraid that they're going to get blacklisted or added to a list or something. He was one that pushed back and it kind of killed it.
And I could almost argue that that could be a history highlight. But
I thought about it.
Probably the start of McCarthyism is even more important because of how many people let him go with it.
And jumped on board.
Yes. And it was very, very harmful.
I mean, that's how Richard Nixon first really came into national spotlight.
Yeah.
He jumped on board in a big way.
And so, yeah, I mean, really that being able to accuse somebody with absolutely no proof.
Well, I have proof. I have a list right here that I'm not going to show
right.
you.
Right. Yeah. Pretty scary. Yeah. The amount of power that one person really was allowed to have.
And that's the same reason I didn't choose that as the history.
Because it was the end of it.
Because, yeah, the beginning would be far more impactful than the end.
For sure.
All right. But the history highlight, the thing I think had the most impact on this date, 1898, China leases Hong Kong's new territories to the United Kingdom for 99 years. So just think, I mean, Hong Kong in the news over the last 30 years or so.
Because that transition was so smooth.
Yeah.
And peaceful.
Yeah.
And it worked so well.
Yeah. And harmony in the world.
Yes. My house.
So what I missed? Did I miss anything?
You didn't. No, no. You hit on all the ones that I had looked at. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Good job.
And you know what else does a good job?
Our guest.
In Regatta, entertaining everybody.
Yes. Again, it's Janet Grothy. Thank you for being with us here today. You're on the board.
I am. Thank you.
Which means you're not paid. To do any of this hard work.
No. I am actually the co-president this year.
Okay.
With fun. Michelle.
Michelle Murray, who we've also had on our show.
Oh, you have?
We have.
She's wonderful.
Yep, she's high energy.
She's high energy, and I'm high energy.
Isn't that required to be on the board of Regatta?
Yes, I would think so. She was the president last year, and then as it goes, I was the vice president and last year, and then become the president this year. However, I had a son, and I could not do it by myself. And being the president of the Regatta is a giant feat. So Michelle signed up to do it again this year with me.
Oh, how fun.
Because it is just so much to do. Yeah. So it's both of us. It's awesome.
So we're going to talk more Regatta, but let's talk about you first.
Okay, great.
So tell us a little bit about you. Where did you come from? Are you from here originally?
No.
So where did you come from?
Well, upstate New York.
Oh, nice. Yeah. As she eyes back.
We find each other.
Yes. Yeah, we tend
to. Yes, you do.
So yeah, I'm from upstate and then I went.
And really upstate, not like my fake upstate.
You have to actually say it.
Well, I'm from Rochester.
Yeah, see, that's way up.
Yeah. You're.
See, because everyone outside of the immediate tri-state area in New York thinks when you say New York, they assume New York City.
Oh, of course.
So in my time in the Midwest, I learned how to say, oh, I'm from upstate New York.
Yes.
And then I'll run into somebody and they'll say, where? And I'll say, oh, near Poughkeepsie. And they'll laugh. They'll say, that's not upstate.
Oh,
you got to be up above Albany.
Yes.
You got to
be
above Albany. So I was 50 miles north of the city.
Okay. So. Suburb.
Which is upstate.
It is.
For just, some people.
That's why I say it.
Yes. So,
anyway, Rochester.
So I'm from
home
Rochester.
Of Kodak.
Home of Kodak.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Do you remember?
I do remember Kodak. Yeah. I mean, real film. Sure.
Real film. So I'm from Rochester, but then I went to college up at Plattsburgh State. So way up north by Canada, and then moved to Vermont, Maine, and then all the way over to Portland, Oregon.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, see, I didn't know the Vermont. So when did you, what age were you moving there and why did you move there?
I moved right after college. So I actually went to college to be a news broadcaster.
Oh, I love it.
It's really funny. And then got a job right out of college in Burlington, because in Plattsburgh's right across the lake. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, so I just finally moved over to Vermont, set a commuting across the lake every day. And so I lived there for a long time in Burlington, and it was magical and gorgeous.
Okay, because I lived in Burlington, Vermont, well, Shelburne, technically,
for
about a year and a half. But I have in-law grandparents that are old-time Vermont and in southern Vermont. And when we told them, oh, we're moving to Burlington, this old codger, he says, oh, Burlington, that's almost like living in Vermont.
Oh my God.
It's like the bigger cosmopolitan city.
Yes, yes. It's very huge.
So when you went to college, you went for broadcasting.
Yes, I did.
And did you work in that industry?
No.
No. So what did you do?
So funny story. I went to college to be a TV newscaster, and my first college did not have TV. So I got into radio.
Okay.
So I did radio for a long time. They don't tell you in broadcasting college that you don't make any money.
They don't.
They should tell you that, like, day one.
Little detail.
So I did it for 5 years. I loved it so much. News writing, newspaper journalism, radio. Did radio forever. And then I got out, and like every other person who doesn't know what they're doing, I got into retail management.
Perfect.
With Toys R Us.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
At the end.
Can you sing the theme?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's got a million toys at Toys R Us for me to play with.
So I was with them for a very, very, very long time. And then I left them. And then I moved to Maine. And then from Maine, I moved to Portland, Oregon.
So growing up, what led you to go into that broadcasting industry? I mean, it is sort of it's odd,
yeah,
right?
What was appealing about it?
You think it's odd?
Well, I don't think a lot of people grow up saying, oh, I want to be on TV. Or if they do, they want to be an actor.
Oh.
Or they want to be famous. Now they all want to be TikTokers.
Oh.
Right?
My mom is a history teacher, or was a history teacher. I've always loved history. That was going to be like my backup. Mm-hmm. College career. And so I don't know. My whole life, I was just like, oh, I'm going to be a news anchor. That was just what I wanted to do.
Interesting. I love it.
And I'm kind of sad that I picked a college that didn't have TV straight away, because potentially it would have panned out differently. But I do have friends who have gone into TV. But and then I just did radio, which is equally as fun. And I did that for a long time. But yeah, I don't know. People don't want to be newscasters. I want to be. I just think it's awesome.
Doesn't pay very much.
It doesn't pay at all. It's a volunteer.
Yes, yes, as what you're still doing.
So you're on the East Coast, Vermont, Maine, New York. Why Portland, Oregon?
Well,
how did that happen?
A relationship.
Okay.
As it always happens.
Oh. had you ever visited before?
I had not.
Okay.
I had not. I visited multiple times during that relationship, and it is Portland at the time. This is like 12, 15 years ago, was very much like Maine and Vermont, you know, very earthy, outdoorsy. The vibe is the same. And so it was an easier transition. It wasn't very drastic. Obviously leaving friends and family is really hard to do, but it was climate wise. It was an easy transition to do.
Yeah, except for missing the snow a little bit, but we can go visit snow.
Yes, we could.
Yeah. Always looking across the Columbia kind of reminds me of looking across Lake Champlain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I do miss the snow, you know, but here it gives you ice. So you're just like trying to not die in it.
Right. You don't miss that.
No.
You don't want that.
That's terrible.
So how do you get from Portland to Astoria?
So I met my husband, my now husband, and he's from Alaska. And he lives in Portland, and we come to Astoria probably at least once a month. It just captures a part of our heart. I think him being from Alaska and me last living in Maine, it just is like both of them. And we just start coming out here all the time. We love it so much. We'll take day trips, overnight trips. We just fall in love with, you know, the seedy, gray, overcast vibe. That the town has and brings. And then about 4 years ago, we decided to make the move and just move out here permanently. A lot of people thought we were crazy because I am from big cities. And so they thought like, oh gosh, you're going to go mad in this small town. And it is the exact opposite. this is heaven, and we will retire here and stay here forever.
And what are the things that, that you do? What did you plug into to immediately get connected?
So I moved out here, didn't really have any connections. I got a job, a part-time job at Fort George, which really helped create friendships in this town. I mean, this town is very small and you kind of have to get in with cliques to become friends. Luckily, I am slightly outgoing, so it was kind of easy. But I did that for a long time and got some really good core friends. From there, I do have a great last name of Grothy, which we do know the other Grothys in town that we are not related to.
You're not.
Well, we are not.
There goes that question.
Yes. And we have had like my relatives meet them, and we are not. But they're the ones who got me into the regatta. So I think I just kind of infiltrated the right groups of really good people.
That's a good way of putting
it. And and I've made really good, solid friendships. But it is tricky. It is tricky out here at first, for sure.
So backing up just a little bit, I'm intrigued by the we came out here at least once a month and we'd stay the night or stay for the weekend. What kinds of things did you do when you came? I mean, what you talked about the grayness and the weather,
yes.
But what attracted you about the town itself? You know, what was it that you were doing that you were having so much fun that you thought, oh, gosh, weekend's not enough. I want to live here.
You know, I think it's a lot of just being calm. We did a lot of stuff and nothing in the rain. You know, you go, we had an agenda that we did most times. You know, you go to Coffee Girl, you go to Fort George, you go to Bowie's Old Restaurant, you go and wander downtown, you go into the shops. I mean, it's the same thing we would do every time, but it's not rushed and it's not, I don't know. It's like welcoming and calming. And as much as we would repeat the same activities every time, you also start to get to know like the baristas. You start to ask them questions. You know, what is there to do in this? You know, what is there to do? What do you guys do? And so we just fell in love with the calmness and the stillness and just also being able to become like a local, you know, and to be able to go to Coffee Girl like on a Tuesday morning when a lot of people can't go. The sea lions are endearing. Walking the river walk. It's just these casual activities that probably everyone takes for granted living here. It was just so nice to be able to do them all the time.
I love that. And one of those things you said resonated with me because one of the main things for me that made me fall in love with Astoria, I came here to interview for this job and I spent about an hour walking around downtown and I just asked random people. I'd say, can you tell I'm trying to find that Flavel house? And everybody I asked, nobody blew me off. Nobody was like, call a chamber and walk away. They all sort of took an interest. Well, where are you from? Well, oh gosh, if you like history, you should go here too. And they were helping me plan, like in theory, my day.
Right.
And I was just amazed at how many people were just so darn nice to this stranger that just accosted them on the street.
Yeah, we got a lot of that too. I think that the town, you know, we do get inundated with tourists like massively in the summer, but during the off season, people really want to talk. And as someone in the service industry, I love to talk to people about, you know, people all the time are like, we want to move here. What do you love about here? And it's just so fun to be able to like brag about all these things that you get to do that a lot of people don't get to do. You know, the other night we just went up to feed our baby his bottle at the Column. Oh. Like how many people can just feed their baby at the Column? You know, it's
right.
It's so wonderful here. It's just so beautiful. And we're so lucky to have it.
I appreciate it too. What a big deal too is the weather, right? So we do, yes, it's gray here. It rains. But when you live here and it's sunny, you get to be, you know,
yeah.
You get to do whatever you want.
It's
so,
a small price to pay.
It
the
is.
The rain for the glorious days.
Yeah. And so it doesn't have to be compacted into that weekend visit.
Right.
Another thing I love still is the limited amount of traffic lights we have. Now, maybe you think we need more. I would argue for more roundabouts. But we don't have a lot, right? From one end of the county to the other, you know, you would be sitting in a lot more traffic, a lot more lights if you were in Portland for that same 45 minutes, if you were truly going from Astoria to Seaside, right? I mean, 45
right,
minutes
right, yeah.
In the metro area, you're just going from Hillsborough to downtown on a freeway.
If you're lucky.
Right.
If you're
lucky.
Far, yeah.
Yeah. Right. If you get that far.
So yeah, so that helps with that calmness too, right? Like that perceived slowing down of things.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, our town, you have everything that you need so close that why do you even leave the town? You know, you find yourself not even needing to go to Seaside or to Cannon Beach if you don't want to. You have everything that you need right here.
Right. Oh, wait till that baby grows up.
Hopefully he loves it as much as
gets a little older.
You'll be driving him everywhere. Because I make that route daily. Just for things.
So let's make sure we have enough time for Regatta. So
yes.
When did you first see Regatta? What did you think about it? And then how did you get involved?
So it has to be about 3 years ago by now. So me and Melissa Grothy, if I'm allowed to say names, we're friends, obviously. And she had posted on her Instagram that they were looking for board members. And I do have Hold Fast tattooed on my hand. I am very into maritime culture, and I love this town, and I love our history and where we came from, and I love everything about the boating community. And so they were asking for volunteers and a secretary at that. And since I do have a journalism background, I was like, oh, I can be her secretary. And so I messaged her, and I was like, yeah, oh my gosh, I would love to come and have a chit chat and see what it's about. So she met up with me and told me everything that the regatta was about. And then I just jumped right in. I went to the first meeting and feverishly handwrote all the notes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I continued to handwrite all of the notes that entire season, which even Pete Gimmery would make fun of me for, because I would just be sitting there like cursively, feverishly writing names down.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have no idea what half of this is. But, you know, a great thing about the regatta and the board is that I would stop them, and then they would explain the entire backstory about whatever.
And it was never short.
It's not short. And it's very.
And they let you stay.
Messy. Yes. But I'd be like, wait, where's what? And who is that? And then it would be a 20-minute backstory about who, you know, Joe Schmo is and da-da-da-da-da. But they sat there and they took the time to really immerse me in the history of it. And it's, you know, it resonates so deeply in this town, and there's so many people that are still alive that were original people with the Anchor Club and that kind of thing that, you know, they want to talk about it and they want to teach you about it. And so, gosh, I've learned so much.
So what are some of the cool events that are happening this year?
So, well, every year I have been in charge of the Grand Land Parade.
Yay!
Which is the best part of regatta, is it not?
No, it's not. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. It is amazing. I love the Grand Land Parade. So that's a huge event. We are doing, last year I brought an event of having the boat parade watch party at the Bolin Hotel.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're doing that again with them. They are amazing. They do signature drinks and signature food for us. So we're just trying to branch out and get more people in the community to hop on. Our admiral this year is bar pilot Mike Tolley, and he is going to have his admiral's reception at the Fort George because he's
fun. Oh, wow. That's quite a change.
Yes, yes. He is such a lover of Fort George, and I just adore him. Also love the bar pilots. So that's going to be really excited. I'm really, really excited for a different place for the Admiral's reception. I think it would be.
That's a good venue.
It's a great venue.
Just fun, relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like fancy, but at Fort George.
Sure.
So that's going to be really fun. Yeah. It's going to be a great year.
Okay. Anything else? I mean, there's a swim across the river, which is associated with. No, it's not.
Not so we.
It's happening during regatta.
Not this year.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we tried it 1 year.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We didn't get everybody back.
Yeah.
No, it was all. It was all very safe. It was successful.
Yeah, we moved that into July just because of the salmon fishermen.
Oh, yes.
Last year. So
perfect.
That moved into July, and that is more of a hospital fundraiser. We kind of transitioned out of that a bit.
Sure.
But we do have a ton of people that come and do that swim. I wanted to do that swim.
Sure. It's a long wave.
It's a long swim.
It's a long swim.
It seems feasible until...
until you're on the other side of the river.
And you're like,
the tide's going in. And then it's going out.
You're like, this isn't a big pool.
What
all the fun is happening here?
So how are you balancing then all of these, the new activities and your work and all that? I mean, just keeping everything going.
Oh, I stay very organized.
Oh, good.
Yes, I have a very colorful planner. But the regatta is amazing and it's easy and we have an awesome board. So you're not just doing it by yourself. We have a lot of people that, you know, have areas of responsibility. So I am the president, but I also run the parade. But other people have other things that they do.
Yeah.
And then also I have a brand new baby who will be there as well.
With you. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regatta-ing.
Co-president. Another co-president.
He'll be like, yeah, co-president. Yes. Yes.
Do you have a need for more volunteers? And if so, what should people, what do you look, what are you looking for? Where should they find you?
Yeah. So we always need volunteers. We will start posting it on our website, exactly what we need. The Land Parade obviously needs volunteers. Some of our other events, I think the Admiral's Reception is going to need some volunteers. We'll have a sign up posted onto our website. So just be on the lookout under the volunteer tab.
And where is that website?
Oh, the website is astoriaregatta.com.
Very easy. See all your sponsors there, all the events.
Yes. It's a wonderful, beautiful website.
And regatta is August 6th through 9th.
Yes, it is.
Put it on your calendar.
Please do.
Don't be surprised because we do have a couple more people that come to town during that weekend. Just a few.
And did I miss? Is there a theme this year? And did you say the theme?
There is a glorious theme. It is hold fast.
Oh,
embrace the tide.
So you tattooed the theme on your hands.
I did.
You are very dedicated.
I know. Well, I tattooed it years ago,
just
preemptively
knowing.
Thinking.
I love that.
This is the year. Yes, every year the president gets a theme to honor them. Oh. So this is. My year.
I didn't realize that was what the theme was. And so did you then have a say in that? You suggested it or you came up with it?
Me and Michelle did. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You pick out the theme every year.
I had no idea.
Our theme.
Me either. Obviously, we've never been president of the regatta.
Obviously.
Not that we're volunteering that either.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So hold fast.
Yes. And embrace the tide. I like that. Okay. And do you need pins to get into events or not?
We do need pins. They are going to be up for sale either on the website or a list of stores, which is also listed on the website. So please be on the lookout for them. They're gorgeous. Of course, they say hold fast, embrace the tide. And they do have a little baby otter for my son. His name is Ozzy. Ozzy the otter. So he's our little cute addition this year. But once again, the president next year, you know,
nice.
Who knows what it'll be.
I love it. Well, thank you. Thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you.
We had a lot of fun. I love having another broadcaster. We found another person who could replace you when you're out sick.
I know. I'm getting a little self-conscious here.
I don't know that much about history, though.
The professionals keep coming.
Oh, that's okay.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and go make some history, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.